Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
You know, tonight I'm tasked to do the message on Father's Day, and I've committed to keep it short because I know some of you are very hungry and you're itching to get to those hot dogs and hamburgers, but I have a message for you tonight. It's called Intentional Fatherhood. Intentional fatherhood to me means on purpose we're doing God's fatherhood God's way. You know, there's a crisis in our land. It's called the curse, what I call the curse of the absent father. The curse of the absent father to me, in the lens of my 20-year ministry here at The Rock, is we have so many liabilities, so many wounds, people coming broken with missing pieces because of the father wound. And that's why Paul says you don't need many teachers or tutors. You need more fathers. Pastor Jim preached a phenomenal series called Father to the Fatherless, which is a staple at this church. In this pulpit, he preached it, and he sowed that seed of father to the fatherless. And intentional fatherhood is just that, that you're doing things on purpose because God's called you to be an intentional father. You might be a new father. You might be now a grandfather like me, just now celebrating, you know, seven grandchildren, coming eight. And it's just so exciting for me. You know, I mean, I love being around my kids. I love being around my grandkids. I love them. I like to spoil them and send them home. Eat all the candy you want and then go deal with it with your mom and dad. I love that. I love that I get to see that. There was a time 4 years ago where my doctor told me I wouldn't see that. But God had a different plan, and that plan is that I'm to be blessed and my children's children will be blessed. So intentional fatherhood means that we celebrate fatherhood. We celebrate the men leading in strength and love and unwavering faith. The constant shift of our cultures, the things that are negative. You know, I really don't like television because when I watch sitcoms and when I watch things, fatherhood is a downer. They just display weak men that don't know how to take the charge and the challenge and the raise of doing it God's way, and that's Hollywood's view. But God has a different view, amen? God has a shift in us to be able to do fathering His way. And that Christian father is a pillar of truth. It's a guiding light. And that's why Psalms 19:130 says this, the unfolding of your word gives light and it gives understanding. Think about it. Light comes out of the word. And the man that is driven to lead his family in the light is a man of the word of God. The man that is displaying the word of God. The man that is teaching his children and grandchildren the word of God. That's a light to you. That's a light source to you. That's why we work so hard in children's and youth ministry to implant that word in your youth and children. But we are not the parents. We're only pastors of your children. You have to take the bull by the horns and be that light to your family. It's through this quiet sacrifice and bold intentional leadership. We take the bull by the horns and we rein in anything that will come against the family unit. And I'm charging every man that's a father. I'm charging those that are new fathers. I'm charging those that are now grandfathers. Take the bull by the horns and say, in Jesus' name, nothing is going to enter into this house. I am the protector. I am the guide. I am the light to my family and to the generation behind me. That is fatherhood. That's bold fatherhood. Strong, compassionate, ever-present. We thank God for the prayers of those that went before us, our fathers that raised us up in the ways of the Lord. And fatherhood is a journey. Are you going to do it right all the time? No, you're not. There's many, many years I have failed in fatherhood. But thank God for His grace and mercy. He's corrected a few things and taught me how to be an intentional father. Am I a perfect father? No. All you have to do is talk to my wife. She'll give you a list of 10 things of imperfection. But I do serve a perfect God. Yeah. Full of grace and mercy. And every morning when I make a mistake, I say, God, today's a new day. Today's a new day to charge this family and to be a part of the light in my home. I'm going to do the best I know how. Please give me this understanding. That's why Proverbs 27 says this, 20 verse 7, the righteous man walks in integrity and his children are blessed after him. Think about it. The righteous man walks in integrity. In Restoration Ministry, we teach this. Integrity means unbroken focus. Unbroken focus. The righteous man doesn't lose focus of where he's heading, what he's doing, and how he's leading his family. And then your children after you will be blessed because you're leaving a trail of integrous living. Committed to the marriage, committed to family values, committed to the teaching principles of raising up the child in the ways of the Lord, and when they get old, they won't depart from it. That's biblical leadership. That's biblical fathership. So I'm going to launch off Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. It's a famous scripture that we teach usually in children's ministry or when we're helping parents grow their kids up. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that they may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So point one, intentional fatherhood requires honor and respect. Honor and respect. If something I've learned as a man and now an older gentleman, respect goes a long way. And respect isn't just, oh, Father, I respect you, I obey. Respect means you listen to the wisdom of Dad. When Dad is sitting down with you and discussing even hard things, challenges in your life, respect is wisdom. I got to live this with my own father, and my dad would oftentimes offend me with statements that he would make, either correctional points, and I didn't want to hear it, okay, whatever, especially when I was a teenager. I've come to understand that although he had many missing pieces as a man, because he had the Word of God in him, he deserved my respect and my integrity and my honor. And that's something this culture has lost. How to respect the forefathers and then the fathers of this generation. Well, I'm a firm believer of honoring. And when you honor, you say, you pay attention. Just say, okay, yeah, whatever. No. Say, what did you say? I remember one time I was correcting one of my children when I was younger. And the Lord was, you know, instilling this in me that you haven't walked in integrity and you haven't walked in honor. And I want to correct that. And if you correct it, you watch what your kids do to you. And I remember, there was a conflict in our home, and I was saying something to my older son, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, he just was running out of the house, and all of a sudden, he said, Dad, what did you say? And I said, sit down, son. I'm going to teach you. And then right after that, I imparted him some wisdom, and he was listening. And the Lord told me, because you're after my integrity and you're after my heart, my children will now start respecting your voice. Because you're a man of integrity. You're walking by the light. You're giving them wisdom and insight that's going to save them for life. Honor and respect. A father needs to be honored and respect. So we need to say, well done, Dad. Have you texted your father today? Have you communicated him? Well done. Hey, thanks for all what you've done. You showed up. You delivered. You worked hard. You invested. It's something that we don't do often. It's just bizarre. I was at a restaurant today, and it was packed, but not that packed. Mother's Day, like, there's no room. I mean, there's no room. Father's Day, I'm not saying that the restaurants are disrespecting. I'm saying that we need to honor. And when we honor, God honors us. And this honor comes by leading. This honor comes by influence. Showing no respect when we take for granted the talks and the investment of our father. That's why it's emphasized, honor your father and mother. And the definition there is to show and give recognition. Give proper place. Pause in your journey of running by your father and saying, wait, what was that? What do you want me to do? How are you challenging me? How do you want me to do that? That's what a father does. And if you're not doing that today, you can start doing that today. That challenge is our challenge. It's all of our challenge. When we do this intentionally, we become faith-filled fathers. When we do this out of respect, God gives us respect. And he teaches us that that respect will follow us. Not just respect, listen to me, shut up, I'm paying, pay attention. It's the respect, how I'm leading and what I'm going after. Kids, this is what I want you to go after. See the prize? See that prize? That's what I'm chasing after. I'm foregoing things. I'm letting other things go, but that prize, and that prize for all of us should be Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that prize because he's the biblical father. He's the one that cared for the disciples and vetted them and ministered to them and inspired them and mentored them and put value in them so they could be spiritual fathers of the many. So intentional fathers is not only showing honor and respect, but it's training and teaching, which is very, very hard. I'm of the opinion that the training is less talking and leading by example. They need to catch you doing things on purpose, intentionally. You know, why are you and mom going out to dates? Why do you take a pause and you go after this? You know, why are you writing these things, and how come you value these other things? Let them know what's inside of you. And I know that's challenging for some men because we don't like to talk. We don't like to sit down and say, well, let me just unzip myself and let me expose a little bit of my own failures and let me tell you where this wisdom's coming from. Let me teach you things that I should have learned at your age. Some of the best conversations with my own children is when we had coffee and I had to say, I'm sorry for doing this or that. I didn't mean to hurt you, but I want to do better, but I do want you to understand me and where I'm coming from. Those are valuable teaching moments, and you need to create those moments in your family. Teaching and training is a part of intentional fatherhood. It creates maturity in your young people. It creates maturity in your home. It nurtures your children. This training in discipline and righteousness, the Bible calls, these are doing things God's way, but they're hard things to do. They're very hard things to do. To tell your child no is a hard thing. To not let them run wild is a hard thing. To say, hey, you got to put a boundary here. I'm so sorry. I'm gonna take some things away from you, and this is why. To create an avenue where that conversation could exist with an intentional fatherhood means that you're sitting down and laying down some principles of your own life, so they can learn from you. So you could teach them some great things. You could teach them what it means to be an intentional father. To sit down and mentor your own children. Sit down and listen to their pain. Sit down and engage tough conversations. Like, Dad, you know, I'm messing with drugs. Come over here, son. I'm just going to slap your hand and tell you off. I'm going to sit down and give you the case of why drugs in your life is wrong. I'm going to tell you what it's going to do to your brain, what it's going to do to your lungs, what it's going to do to your mind. And I'm going to tell you some examples that I've known throughout my journey as a man of why I say no to those kind of things. Give them reasons of the why. Give them intentional reasons of why things that need to be tackled, these highs and lows in our life, these things that are hard to learn and grasp. That's training. These values, why do you show up early? Me and my wife were talking today, you know, it's like we raised 5 kids and we were always early. Why? Were we crazy? 5 children. And when we were volunteering in children's ministry, we weren't late. Back in the day. You know, I wasn't pastor then. Joel, your cart's waiting. Where you at? Pastor Mike was chasing me down. Believe me, they were on point. But our children had to get up. We had to do things intentionally. Get them all ready to get to church on time. That was a value we instilled in our children. Now they make fun of us that we're always early. And the older you get, the earlier you're there. I don't know how that works. That's hilarious to me. But we're not there to talk about that. But what we need to do is we need to instill these things so our families will flourish. Our children will be bold as lions and be able to defeat any giant in their life. Where there's no fear and they're confronting hard things because you're instilling that in them. That's intentional fatherhood. And my last point is leaving a lasting legacy. Leaving a lasting legacy. A lasting legacy means this, that your thoughts, your opinions, your mannerisms, your way of life, your values, what you've instilled in your family will outlive you. Will outlive your days on this earth, leaving a lasting legacy in everything, verse 3 says, so it be well with you. This is why we honor. So it will be well with you to live a long life on this earth. Lasting legacy brings a duration of life that's intentional, that can be unstopped by people, things, or any adverse conditions. When you're leaving a lasting legacy, you're not just thinking for the now, you're thinking for the future. Who will my children marry? How will they raise their grandkids? Will they raise them up in the ways of Jesus? Will they raise them up in the book? Will they sit down with them and pray with them and cry with them? And will they come and suffer with them? Will they have a community family meetings? Will we sit down and break bread? Some of my greatest joys right now, as we speak, where I'm at in my life, is when all the family's over and we're having dinner. I love those times. Is it loud? It's crazy. Kids are everywhere. It's a mess, but it's a beautiful mess. Because I love this. This is what we've invested in. This is my legacy. My children's children will be blessed. They will know what they call me Tata. They will know what Tata meant and loved. Even though I act crazy and goofy and I make them laugh, inside of me, I'm instilling a value in them that will leave a lasting legacy. I knew that Grandpa said this. I remember when he taught us this. I remember when he went after this. Those are the things that will leave a lasting legacy. Lasting legacy means this. To make an impact that will endure long after the person dies, affecting generations and generations to come. A continuing remembrance involving creating something that extends beyond our own lifetime with meaningful presence in the lives of your family and others. This is a spiritual legacy. This is a spiritual inheritance. This is inheritance where your children will be spiritual role models for others to follow. You're inputting the life of spiritual values in your children to be leaders for tomorrow. So when they raise themselves up, when they're in their companies running them, when they're doing their jobs, when they're in places of leadership, people are following because of the legacy you've been invested in them. It's a big value. This is something so needed, a father's legacy, and leaving it better than when you had it. Making sure that this impression matters to you. So fathers, what are your values? What are you going after that will last a lifetime beyond you? Hey, don't tell me money. Don't tell me success. Don't tell me fame. None of those things last. What lasts is the word of God inside of you and in putting it to others and bringing that to others. So here's what I want to say to you, dads, today. I want to instill this hope in you that even though you've blown it, even though maybe you've fallen short from some of these things, today's the day to start a new fathering legacy for yourself and your children. Today's the day that you mount this incredible opportunity to inspire your family to do great things. Inspire your children, your grandchildren to do great things. Well, Pastor, I'm just a mentor. I'm just, you know, I just volunteer. Inspire the next generation to do great things. You know what young people need? You know what young people need? I figured it out. You know what they need? They don't need more, hey, sit down, shut up, and let me correct you. Here's what they need. Hey, boy, come on, let's go over here. Let me show you how to do this. Let me show you. Here, come over here. Walk over here. Let me teach you this. Let me instill this in you. I know you, okay, maybe you haven't had it, but let me give it to you. Let me give you some wisdom on how to date. Let me give you some wisdom and how to ace this class. Let me tell you how to accept correction and not rejection. Let me tell you how to accept offenses when they come, and they will come. Let me tell you when your pride is coming against you and there's things that hurt your heart. Let me show you how you can overcome those things. That's what they need. That value. This claim. So to all the dads that don't need nothing today, but somehow fix everything. Those that have led by example. Not with big speeches, but with quiet, consistent presence. You make it look easy. My dad made it look easy. Yet he was bivocational, sometimes working three or four jobs and then preaching the gospel. Four jobs and then preaching the gospel. He made it look easy, but he was intentional. He was intentional. Even though we don't know how it's done, somehow you have that. You know, my brother-in-law texts me today and he says, "Wow, I'm suffering a plumbing problem. How I need the wisdom of your father," because my dad knew plumbing. And he didn't know how to plumb his house. And my dad isn't around. So I said, "Well, so sorry for you, man. I love you. Happy Father's Day." Call a plumber. Even though you don't know how to do it, God knows how to do it. Even though you might fall short, God doesn't fall short. This is where grace comes in. Today there's hope for you, there's hope for me. Today God wants to be your father and teach you how to father those children in front of you and teach you how to father those youth around you and teach you how to mentor those that are coming your way to instill values in Jesus that was indestructible in their life. That's intentional fatherhood. That's intentional fatherhood. That God, this is a challenge for us today. Let's pray. Father, this is a moment where you mount today, where you mount today values. And this is a point of demarcation where you've given us this mandate to be incredible dads. Incredible fathers, intentional fathers, fathers with a lasting legacy, with a commitment of training and mentorship and values, fathers that will be shown respect because they themselves carry themselves respectfully, that there's something of substance in the life of every man that births children, an incredible promise. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, there will be a lasting spiritual legacy that you will leave behind, and that lasting legacy is indestructible. Your children will call you blessed, and you will rise up an army of saints of God, even in the midst of your own family. Thank you, Lord. You're so good as a father. Teach us how to do these things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Check out this video. Fathers, check out this video.
This one is for the fathers and all the father figures, stepfathers, grandfathers, godfathers. Whether by blood or by choice, we give voice to our gratitude for the fathers. the heroes, the mentors and anchors, the coaches and counselors, teachers and trainers, the men who shape us and show us the definition of faithful and strong and wise, the fathers, always by our side, with us and for us, steady and courageous, ready to inspire and encourage and give us a word of wisdom, a voice of reason in season and out. There is no doubt where their strength comes from, what their hope is set on, who their eyes are fixed on, the fathers, the embodiment of legacy, humility, integrity, needed and necessary, dependable and trustworthy. The fathers, the men who lead and love and believe in us even when we don't. The fathers, the men who nurture and point us toward purpose, almost bigger than life, but always down to earth. The fathers, the men who give guidance, direction, and keep everything in perspective, making room for us to grow. We may never know the prayers, the tears, the sacrifices that fathers make on our behalf, yet still find time to play and laugh and rejoice in the day that the Lord has made. The fathers, the heroes, we honor you today.
Let's give it up for fathers. Even though Pastor Dan, Pastor Jess are on vacation, we give it up to Pastor Dan, who's a father of this house. Thank you, Pastor Dan, for charging forward, doing what you do best, which is fathering this house. Before I end tonight, I don't know everyone here tonight, but I'm going to do it very, very easy tonight. I'm going to pray with you in your seats, and I'm going to ask you to commit. You heard a message on fatherhood, and you say, well, that did not relate to me because I'm not a father. That's okay. But there's someone, a father, who can relate to you, and that's our Father God, who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. But I don't know where your spiritual condition is. We at this house, Rock Church World Outreach Center, never assume that you're saved just because you come to a service or you attend online. You can never assume that. I don't know your spiritual condition, so I ask you this question. If you was to die tonight, and that reality is often, especially with these crazy madness that we see in our world today, these freeways that are just ungodly, things can happen. Sickness, accidents, incidents can take you out, so you can't assume that you're going to live forever. So knowing that fact, where will you spend eternity? This pastor is asking you that question. Will you be in heaven or will you be in hell? I don't know your condition, but God does. You can't assume, you can't say, well, I believe I'm a good man. Actually, I'm a good father. Some of those principles that you were teaching tonight, Pastor Joel, I live them. Well, that's great living by a principle, but do you know him and the power, the Bible says, of the resurrection of Christ? Can't assume. Well, wearing religious jewelry and being baptized or dedicated as a child or going through communion or confirmation, none of that guarantees salvation. Nowhere in the Bible it says religious acts guaranteed salvation. Well, you might say, well, I hope so. Nowhere in the Bible you can hope your way to heaven. Those that hope the best or hope the most will garner heaven. Hollywood has a misunderstanding that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. That's a misunderstanding. That's Hollywood. Hollywood doesn't have a biblical formation or spiritual reality. They assume a whole lot because they're nice or because they're generous or because they were donors or they planted trees or they dug wells or they put shoes on people's feet or they fed communities with their wealth. They're going to heaven. None of that, nowhere in the Bible does it say those things, those good works will take you to heaven. As a matter of fact, one who did good works named Nicodemus, John 3, he said this. He was confronted by Jesus himself, this spiritual giant, this guy who lived a religious system, this one that sang the scriptures and teach the scriptures. He was confronted by Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ said, Nicodemus, you need something from me. And he says, what's that? He said, you need to be born again. And it flipped him on his religious high horse. What does that mean? He said, born again, born again. Jesus defined it for him. Nicodemus, what's born of the flesh is flesh, and what's born of the spirit is spirit. You need to be a spiritual formation and a spiritual commitment to me. And he challenged Nicodemus, like I'm challenging you today. You need to be born again. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You can't assume it. You can't go on. You can't assume that, hey, I'm going to live to the very, you know, God's going to give me a second or third chance. We can't take that for granted. I've known and I've buried too many people, very young people, older people, that assumed a lot of things, and all of a sudden their life was cut short. So today the Holy Spirit's talking to you, and I don't know who you are, but God does. I'm going to count to three, and in your seat, just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come up. In your seat, I'm going to ask you, make a commitment to Jesus Christ. One, if you're running from God instead of to God, I'm talking to you. Two, if you're not sure, please be sure. I feel prompted to tell you, don't live the lie. Don't assume that you're saved. If you're not sure, really, today is the day to be sure. Three, raise your hand right in your seat. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. I've seen three, four, five hands. I'm going to, with you in your seat, I'm going to pray. I want everybody to stand. It's a holy moment. Remember, I'm not going to call you up here. We're doing it real, real easy tonight. If you raise your hand, or you didn't raise your hand, or you need to raise your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father God, today's the day that I believe and I receive Jesus Christ, your Son, on purpose and intentional. Create in me a new heart. I repent from all that I've done wrong. Today, I ask you to come into my life. Today, I proclaim, I'm born again. I'm headed for heaven. I'm denying hell. This is the day that I'm saved. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. If you're online or on campus and you raise your hand on the way out, our spiritual personal friends, our faith-filled friends will be on the way out holding some information for you, okay? They're holding some information for you. Take it on the way out. And I want to bless the food because I'm not going to pray over there. Father God, in Jesus' name, I bless the courtyard activities. I bless the families. I bless the fathers. And I raise up an army of dads that will do this intentionally. And by Jesus' name, they will lead their families to the purposeful promised land. And they and their children will be blessed. I pray for fun-filled activities and fellowship. I pray that, Father God, that we will have a great time in the courtyard. Bless the food. Bless the provision. Bless those that made it, the volunteers that served it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me bless you on the way out. In Jesus' name, Father God, I pray over this congregation online and on campus. Lord, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming, blessed going, that everything that they touch will prosper. This will be an amazing day for them. This will be an incredible journey of emotional and spiritual health, that they will input this in their families, and their families will raise up and call them blessed. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen and amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. God bless you tonight. Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.